Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back. It's 34 After. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you, as always. You're going to be glad you stayed with me because we got one of the smartest guys I know on the show with us. Stephen Baum is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Stephen is he's one of the top management experts that I know. He leads groups of CEOs to help them become better. That's what he does. And he's credentials all the way up his arm and down one arm and down the other side. His new book is called What Made Jack Welch Jack Welch, and more importantly, he's my good friend and yours too, whether you know it or not. Stephen Baum, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Good to be back again.
It's good to have you back. And he's the chair of the Vistage CEO Group in the New York City metro area. That's how he interacts with his CEO mentees, I guess I should say. Stephen, it's good to have you back. I know you're probably getting tired of hearing me say this, but I'm going to keep saying it because I think it's something that we all need to be hit between the eyes with as often as possible. Stephen, I've been saying that where we're going is going to look a lot different from where we've been. And the reason I say going to look is because I don't think we are where we're going yet. I think 2009 is a transition year to take us from where we've been to where we're going. But I'm saying January 1, 2010, we're going to officially start the new, what I'm calling a new era in the marketplace. And I'm calling 2009 a buffer year between the old and the new. And I think the opportunities and the challenges that we're going to have in the future are going to look a lot different from the ones we've had in the past. What do you think?
Jim, I think the CEOs I work with, both in the Vistage Group, which is a peer support group of business owners and chief execs, and also in my private practice, would tell you that what you said is right, and it may be quite late next year before we really have a sense of where the path is going. There's going to be plenty of bumps in the road between now and then, and a bunch of opportunities.
But there's no question there's going to be opportunities. But if you think about opportunities the way you thought about 2005 opportunities or 2007 opportunities, the new ones are going to whiz right by you.
No, this is very different. These opportunities are ones I describe them sometimes as a dollar bill that just happens to be on the sidewalk in front of you.
Yeah.
You just happen to be positioned in the right place at the right time, the right way, and you got to have the courage to see it as an opportunity and go after it.
Right, right. So
I'll give you an example of that later in our conversation.
Right. So talk to us a little bit about what you're hearing from your executives. Give us a little bit of a report on what you're hearing from your guys.
You'll recall that the last time we talked, I traced the history going back to summer of 07 when many of my guys began to batten down the hatches. And if you battened down the hatches in 07 and 08, if your company had a value proposition that was more for less, then some of the tide moved your way. But other people are struggling to survive who didn't do all those good things. And my guys are past doing the things that batten down the hatches. They've already done the unthinkable, the layoffs, the outsourcing to India, the pruning of the customer list, process improvements for lower cycle time, and a whole bunch of other things.
They've already made the tough decisions, or they wouldn't still be in business.
That's correct. And what they're seeing, of course, is the ones who did all of that, they're seeing they're operating in a much leaner basis, and they're actually seeing profits right now. And doing okay. But what I see happening, you might call it as a new form of ROI. It's reinforcement, it's opportunism, and it's innovation. And these are the things my guys are using to get through this period and get through it well. And I'll give you some examples of what these are. One of my guys runs a large company that's in the metals business. And he says, this is the time when I've become a sort of a preacher, reminding the top managers, in in fact, the entire workforce,
right,
of what the keys are to surviving and thriving, encouraging continued vigilance on service to customers and on cost, and celebrating wins no matter how small. Another one of my guys who runs a hotel group holds mock press conferences in which the next level or two of his managers voice what the company offers, what it stands for, and what the strategy is. And this is one form of reinforcement of the message.
Mm-hmm.
The second...
Hold on to that thought, Stephen. We're going to take a quick break, folks.
Sure.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, what Steve is talking about, folks, are... This is very important. What we're trying to do, folks, and what I'm trying to do every day, is get your mind, get your head into the future, get you to thinking about where we're going, and the fundamentals that we've always known, they're not going to change. They're going to stay with us. Cash is still going to be king. We still got to operate our businesses financially, but the marketplace is changing. That's what's going to be different. We got to look for the new opportunities and deal with the new challenges. Stay with us. 22. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. We got lots of stuff there you can use. Anywhere from 5 seconds to 15 minutes or anywhere in between on any topic under the Small Business Sun, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And if you're on Twitter and you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Stephen Baum is with us, ladies and gentlemen. B-A-U-M is the name of the author. Stephen H. Baum, the author of What Made Jack Welch Jack Welch. And Stephen's talking to us about some new perspectives that you and I need to have as we move into the future. Stephen, let's talk about this ROI again. He gave us some new terms for ROI. Instead of return on investment, it's reinforcement, opportunism, and innovation. And are these new handles that we should think about putting on? We should carry around with us as we look at what's coming at us in the future. Stephen, is that what you're saying?
The guys I see who are weathering this storm really well are using these three ideas, these three activity areas, to generate sustainable profits. That's
right.
What they're doing.
And so reinforcement, define that for us again.
Well, reinforcement is making sure that the message gets to everybody every day. It's playing the new music tape,
right,
of what it takes to survive, what it takes to thrive, and who we are and why we're in business.
So whatever song your company needs to sing to be successful, make sure everybody knows that song and they sing it all the time.
That's exactly right. You know, we had Janie Smith, who teaches on competitive advantage, come to our group, and she taught us to really focus in on what our real customer advantage is as seen by the customer. And when our guys went back to their offices and queried their own people about what our competitive advantage is, they found that many of the people were singing different songs. And when your own people can't express the value proposition,
right,
powerfully the same way, it results in lower sales.
Well, but here's a worse scenario. They're singing their own department song.
Oh, that's awful.
They've come up with their own song, and boy, howdy, have I seen that. You have too, Stephen. And that is, folks, a toxic, toxic nightmare.
No, there's got to be a company song.
That's right.
The second form of engagement... A second form of reinforcement is engagement. You're probably familiar with the Gallup surveys that show companies where the employees are
right,
really engaged.
We've covered those
better
on the show many times.
Yes. So if you haven't seen the Pink Glove video on YouTube, it's a must-see, and I'll tell you why. St. Vincent's Hospital in Portland, Oregon, engaged every employee in creating this video, one which raises breast cancer awareness. They got a supplier to give them pink gloves, and everybody down to the janitor and the employees in the cafeteria wear them.
Wow.
And it not only raises the awareness of St. Vincent as a wonderful care provider, it's good for the company reputation, if you will.
Right.
But in the process, it fired up the pride and purpose of its employees.
Mm-hmm.
And probably as much as anything, if you can get the employees engaged in something which lifts their spirits and makes them proud to be part of that organization,
right,
that's a really big deal. The first time I saw a small, cliche kind of thing, Employee of the Month, done in this fashion,
mm-hmm,
I was at USAA, the insurance company.
Right.
And the guy who was showing me around said, "Stephen, it's almost 10 o'clock. Let me find out where we should go next." And he came back and he said, "Okay, we're going near Sally's cubicle on fifth floor." And we wandered up to the fifth floor, and about 2 minutes to 10, an enormous crowd gathered in the corner of that floor and moved to Sally's cubicle and stood around her and gave her a standing ovation.
Wow.
Now, I got to tell you, Employee of the Month is a pretty tired idea. But not to Sally.
Right.
Having as many of her peers who could free themselves up for 5 or 10 minutes to give her a standing O had just a gigantic impact.
I remember working for companies in the 70s where we did things like that.
Well, you know, people can really outperform themselves when
yeah.
they feel that way.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, this seems appropriate to me to remind people about what I've told them in the past about what Napoleon said. He said, "A soldier will fight long and hard for a bit of colored ribbon." And that's what that standing O was. All right, let's talk about so reinforcement. We know what that is, folks. That's finding out whatever you do right, making sure everybody knows what that is, and have them sing that song all the time. And what about opportunism?
Okay, and the last part of reinforcement is engaging them actively with a purpose.
All right.
The opportunism is a view of what it is that's going to be opportunities for revenue and opportunities for profit, not the way of expecting the curve to go always up in some sea of opportunities, but very specific ones that the company is in a position to take advantage of. I'll give you an example of that. One of my CEOs has a company that's it's a reasonable size company. It's less than 100 million. It's more than 50 million, and has battened down the hatches and has been very aggressive about realizing a new cost structure and pruning the account list and all that. And has been looking for ways to grow. He came in contact with a company for sale that's in his own business, a smaller company. And the question is, why is that company for sale? And he found out with some exploration that the company was for sale because it never really had particularly strong leadership. It borrowed a pot full of money,
mm-hmm,
and it ran on hard times. Next question is, why is that opportunity available?
Hold on to that thought, Stephen. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Stephen Baum is our guest. We're going to be right back. His book is called What Made Jack Welch Jack Welch. It's 10 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. More to come after these messages.
Across the vein of night, there comes a path of searing light, burning like a beacon on the edges of our sight.
Welcome back. It's 7 Till. Little Dan Fogelberg bringing us back. The late, great Dan Fogelberg, one of my favorites. That's from the Innocent Age album, by the way. It's still great. After like 30 years, it's still an outstanding album. We're still visiting with somebody else who's pretty darn outstanding. He's Stephen Baum, and his book is called What Made Jack Welch Jack Welch. Stephen, tell us how we can find you, how we can find your organization and all the things that you do, and your book, too.
The easiest way is to go on my website, which is StephenHBaumLeadership.com. Stephen with a PH, middle initial H, Baum, B-A-U-M, leadership.com.
StephenHBaumLeadership.com.
Right.
And by the way, if you think you've seen that name before recently, ladies and gentlemen, if you've seen Samuel Baum, the creator of Lie to Me, that's Stephen's son. It's his progeny. So congratulations on that one, too. I know your son's going to have you. He's going to buy you a Malibu beach house soon, and you'll be out there cooling your heels in the Pacific, right?
Wouldn't that be nice? Of course, he won't promise it unless he's already bought it.
Exactly. Right. Hey, Stephen, let's get back into our we're talking about a new way of looking at ROI, folks. Reinforcement opportunism. You were telling us about opportunism. I want you to wrap that up, and then let's get to innovation.
So the important question in this acquisition I was describing, it's a roll-up with not really great leadership and borrowed too much money and is available, and the question is why. And in this troubled sea, it's available because the bigger boys who might buy it are preoccupied. The bigger predators have too much else on their plate.
Mm-hmm.
So my guy does the due diligence, and he screws his courage to the sticking point, and he makes a winning offer. This acquisition wouldn't be available to anybody else at this moment, and if it were available in other times, it would be available not to him.
Or if it was, if he tried to buy it 2 years ago, would it cost him double or triple?
Oh, absolutely.
And 2 years from now, it would be double or triple. And so what you're saying is it was just a moment in time that was right. He seized the day.
This was a dollar bill sitting at his feet. And if he picks it up, it's his.
Yeah, but if he weren't thinking about what you and I are talking about right now, his paradigm about that would be to say, he would remember 2 years ago when he said, I couldn't buy that.
That's
now
exactly
he's thinking,
right. And this is his, let's see, this is either his second or third small acquisition in the last 2 years.
Right.
He's been very nervous about making these investments, but he sees them as almost like fate.
Right, right.
So well, that's the second item is opportunism, whether it's on people you hire, which you were talking about in your last segment.
Right.
Or acquisitions you make of companies or acquisitions of products or anything else like that. So that's the second part of the new ROI, mm-hmm. reinforcement and opportunism. And the last part is innovation. And there's a lot of people who believe that innovation in what the company stands for, innovation in its products, innovation in its marketing pitch, are going to be what carries us through 2010. So I'll give you some examples.
Yeah, because a lot of people are looking around thinking, where's the innovation coming from? We've already wrung a lot of that out of the system.
Well, innovation is a creative process, but there's a lot of discipline involved. And mm-hmm. there's companies around who offer their services in ways that get your people to really think in a much more disciplined fashion. And over whatever 20-odd years that I've been doing this, very few companies have the knowledge of the customer it takes to do an innovation.
Right.
What happens as a result of these small projects is they learn things about the customers they never knew before. That's where it starts.
So, folks, we're not talking about technological innovation. We're talking about innovative ways to serve the customer better.
That's right. That's right. So I'll give you one example.
And any company can do that.
I'll give you one example, which I heard at a conference. An outfit called Doblin does innovation consulting to pretty big companies.
Right. I got 1 minute.
Okay. Well, they were looking at the Ford 150 pickup truck, which
right.
was reaching saturation in the marketplace, and Ford asked them, what do we do? And long story made short is they went out and watched customers using the trucks, and they figured out that most of the customers were general contractors of small and larger nature,
mm-hmm.
and they were using the truck as an office,
yeah,
going back and forth to the site.
Right.
So they reconfigured a bunch of stuff to make it work better as an office.
Mm-hmm.
They also found that a lot of tools were lost. And they figured out a way to get the truck to sense which tools were taken out of the truck bed and which were put back in. So they innovated the view of the truck and its usefulness
right.
to a prime set of customers.
Holistic innovation.
That's exactly
right. How about
right.
that? Hey, Stephen, what a great way to end the hour. Thank you so much for bringing us these great perspectives. You always do. Look forward to our next lesson at your knee.
Thank you for having me, Jim.
Thank you. Stephen Baum, ladies and gentlemen. He'll be back, I promise. I will be too after the news. I'm Jim Blassingame. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.